Welcome back to the Language and Behavior Podcast. My name is Joshua Snipper, and I'm with the talented Charlie Peck. As Charlie, I pretty much am snowed in.
It's crazy. That's crazy. What did you say? 7 inches?
It has to be that much, at least. Yeah, 7 inches. Yeah, overnight. Kids are off of school, but finally they're back today with a late start and delay. But as you know, I mean, you guys get snow too. That kind of disrupts things.
It's a little disruptive. That stuff, that little precipitation is disruptive. Yes. Especially my husband being from the Buffalo area. And oh my gosh.
Buffalo's. Yeah. That's a different story.
Yeah. Northern Kentucky, we got some snow. We got a few inches. Kids got the day off.
Nice.
But they're back to school. Last.
And now we can get back to work.
Yes, we can.
All right. Well, with that, I know you've been doing several podcasts lately, having conversations with educators. And one question came up, which I think is extremely interesting. Typically, we talk about student behavior, but this one actually was about parents and parent behavior. So will you share kind of the scenario that was brought up to you and we can dive in?
Yeah, and this is going to resonate with you and other leaders. So I was on the Shirts and Ties podcast. If y'all have not heard of that or listened, you've got to go over there. Brian and Casey are awesome. Like, they're just such great guys. And so one of the questions they asked was, when the parent has a lot of ego, like they're coming in, they're kind of guns a blazing, but they've got a lot of ego, how do you shut that down and sift through that and make sure that they know that they've got to do what we need them to do? And that was kind of a roundabout way of asking it. So Josh, I'm going to first go back to you with that. What do you think? What would you say?
Well, first off, those guys are awesome. And they were one of our first guests here on the Language and Behavior podcast. So if you haven't listened to that, go back and check them out. They do a wonderful job and wonderful work, not only at the campus level, but they help a lot of educators. So very interesting question. And there are about 1,000 examples I can provide. Yeah. I mean, goodness sakes, I've had all kinds of folks try to intimidate, call me every name of the book, call the police on themselves because they didn't know that what they were going to do in the front office. That was an interesting one. So all that being said is I think it's very similar to what we talk about in the book as far as our tenants. You know, like for myself, I think I've talked about that in the podcast as far as like changing my environment and making sure that I was in a area that was where I was able to sit next to them versus across from them and not have any barriers. The other thing is a neutral site. I think if you are bringing them into your office, sometimes that feels like a home field advantage for them. So having maybe a conference room instead. I think the other thing too is just like how you're communicating both nonverbally and verbally. I think a lot of times people tend to be stiff and your facial features, tapping, nervousness, I think all that kind of protrudes various emotions to the situation. And so if they're already amplified, I think trying to use your tactics that you do with your students, with them as adults to de-escalate the situation. And then I think once things are settled and regulated, I think that's when you start to pour into the fact that we're both on the same team. Like, you want what's best for your child. And that's exactly what I want too. So how do we get there? Right. And really focusing on a resolution together as teammates versus adversaries.
I love it. I mean, you have to go that route. And here's what I said to them on their podcast. And this did not make for good podcast discussion.
So you're never invited again.
Never invited again, ever. So, okay. The way it was presented, the way I received the question was about how do you break down their ego? That's how I was just sitting with it. Okay. Sure. And I think it's probably because lately I've been dealing with a lot of that personally, but also professionally with kids and their parents themselves. And here was my answer. I said, you can't, or you won't do that because they are the ones who have to do the work. If they're coming into that, you're not going to change them is essentially what I meant and what I said. And also I did, I said, well, there are strategies that we can use. And you're right, Josh. I said, what you need to do is go back to that common ground. Why are they there? Why are they in your office? It's either because they're trying to support their kid or make some kind of statement, but again, they're there for their kid. And the other thing I said is figure out what the underlying issue is when they're all, you know, dysregulated or whatever. If they're like just responding to you in a way that's uncomfortable or loud or not okay, I always say, go back to what it is that about them protecting their kid or they protecting their ego or what we think is going on with them. Because there's a lot of judgment, right? And so we had a good conversation about that too, about the judgment. And I said, judgment's okay, but not when it's unfair. And many times these parents come in and they think that they're being judged for how their kid is behaving. And so many times they don't know what to do. Not all the time. Sometimes they are absent parents. Sometimes they are parents who are not doing good things for their kids, and their kids are showing that in behaviors at school. But a lot of times parents just don't know what else to do and they feel stuck. But we just need to find out kind of what that underlying piece is. And you're right. It is always about staying at the level of calm. Like I always say, that letter or that ladder of conflict, imagine which rung they are on and just don't match them. Don't climb up that with them. Climb back. Once you know you're at a certain, like if you're irritable, that's like the third or second or third rung, climb back down. The real power is at the bottom. But it is an important conversation.
Oh, yeah. But you're right. I mean, they're coming to the school not because of a positive, but for a negative. So if they're already there in that space, then what are the emotions that are underlying the behavior? Well, embarrassment, inconvenience, fear. I mean, there's a lot of things that are negative that are there that are just bubbling to explode. And so I think what you're saying is completely correct. As far as the brain, right? They're triggered. They're in a high emotional state. And so we need to get them down to have a productive conversation. And so, I mean, we wrote about this in the book in regards to students, of being like the window, not the mirror. You need to do the exact same thing with the parents. So if they're yelling and if they're cursing, if they're doing X, Y, and Z, like you can't match that. You always have to. And it's not easy. Trust me, it's not easy. Right. You have to be staying in that calm, because you just have to understand that if you are matching that, then it's not going to be a productive meeting. And then it does look like adversaries versus teammates. And it sometimes takes a long meeting to get to that point, or sometimes multiple meetings. But if you do feel that temperature rise, kind of like Fred Flintstone, you see the red starting to rise, it's okay to say, hey, I need to take a break, or I need to use the restroom, or I need to get a cup of coffee. Take a walk, take some deep breaths, gather yourself, and then come back to have a productive meeting. So I think that's harder because there are more expectations on us receiving the negative versus them who are coming in, again, like you said, guns a-blazing.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point, Josh. I think it's our responsibility to set the stage. We're the leader. It's our building. It's on our turf. So if they're coming into our office, we can set that stage, but we also can prep that. We know what they're coming in with. We can at least anticipate what they might be thinking or feeling, at least generally. And so we can go in there and just kind of shut our own ego down and just kind of have some compassion and just kind of think, all right, this, they might be a little heightened, so I'm not going to match that, and make a concerted effort to just kind of stick with where you are and keep it in that way, no matter what they do. So if we kind of pep talk ourselves, we think we get through that a lot easier. But I learned a lot as a therapist here working with schools, with kids in schools, because I work with their parents a lot, of course. And there are plenty of CPS reports I've had to do. Those Child and Protective Services, people are listening and not understanding that acronym. So when I taught, first of all, I have to be transparent and I let the kid know that I need to make a report. And sometimes there's a lot of tears and fear and all of that. But here's how I say it. I say, it's about giving them resources. It's not about punishing your parent or your guardian. It's that there's resources they're lacking, or they're in a space where it's really difficult for them right now. So I want them to get out there and get support. That's what this is about. And I do need to talk with parents about that. They know I'm the one who reported them. And also I have to be transparent with them. And I let them know that I have to make a report. But the way that we approach it is also going to help navigate the situation better or not, right? And we also can't take on their feelings and their thoughts and their reactions. That's not our responsibility, even though we can have some compassion in that. And no matter what, when it gets messy, we can always go down to like, what is it that you need in this moment? What do I need? And let's try to meet that need. And then we can touch base again and just see if that changes or if there's something else we need to do. But right now in this moment, how do we meet each other's needs in the basic level? How do we do that?
Yeah, I think you bring up a lot of good things. I think one, sharing expectations moving forward, of this is how we're going to run the meeting. I also love to ask, like, what's the end goal for you? Like in a perfect world, what's the end result? Because that gave me some idea of what is going on in their mind. Sometimes it was really off base and not able to be done. For instance, like if a student's bringing drugs or alcohol onto campus, they get caught, and then the parents' expectations them to go to class the next day, like obviously they can't be met. So, but at least it gives me an idea of like where we're coming in as a baseline expectation, and to see if I can meet it on both ends, as far as my end and on their end. The other thing that you had said too, thinking through what you were going to say prior to the meeting. And I would actually script things. So I always had a notepad, a pen, and a paper with me when I came in to take notes about what was being discussed during the meeting. But I also sometimes would write prompts on my piece of paper of either points I wanted to discuss or even questions that I wanted to ask for the parents. But prior to the meeting, I would even spend 5-10 minutes just working through my thought process and almost envisioning what was going to happen in the meeting. And I always felt like I felt more prepared and more comfortable in the meeting by doing that. So it's almost like what we do in sports as far as that visualization. They always talk about if you meditate and visualize what's going to happen during the game, you actually perform better in the game. Same thing prior to a really difficult and tough conversation or a meeting. I would say for administrators to do that also. And then the last point I'd like to make too, Charlie, is that sometimes it's good to also have someone else in the room. So for instance, a social worker, or maybe it's someone that the parents already have a really trusted relationship with. Maybe it's a counselor, maybe it's a teacher. But I think sometimes you also feel a level of support. So it's not just you on an island, but you also have someone else, a teammate that's there to assist maybe if it gets volatile or their emotions rise. Where if they see someone across the table, that's someone they already have a positive relationship, I think the conversation goes better with that too.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's great, especially when they're coming into your building again. It's somebody that they feel like is an ally already. Yeah, yeah, especially if they don't know you as the leader. Yeah, I like
that. Yeah, for sure. And there were plenty of times where it was the first time I was meeting with a parent. And so it's hard to establish a relationship prior to that. So if I could bring someone else that would help bridge that, that was always beneficial.
Good.
All right. Should we jump into behind the banter?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. All right, this is a fun one.
Good.
Who was your childhood hero?
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, like my hero? Okay.
I was thinking it could be fictional or real.
Wow. I always looked up to my sisters. I have three sisters. And honestly, each one of them, I would draw something from. And I desperately wanted to be like each one of them in a different way. So I would say I'd have to honestly say my sisters. Hmm. What about you?
I don't know. I went fictional. I just kept thinking of like all the many superheroes.
I knew you were going to do a superhero. Like,
well, for those who are on YouTube, you can see I have comic book stuff. So I always loved superheroes growing up. So I'll just say that. That's an easy one.
But not one? Like, come on, like Iron Man or what? Who are we talking about here? Let's give one.
Ooh, when I was super young, it was Spider-Man and Batman.
I can see young Joshua being into Spider-Man and Batman. I can see that.
Costumes,
you guys see that, listeners?
Boys,
see that.
Yeah.
So cute. I can see that.
Yeah, I don't think you can. Yeah, you can see my Batman mug right here.
Awesome. Look at that.
Still representing around here. So
love it.
All right. Let's flip it to something that's super exciting. And I know this is early, but I want folks to know about it. So Charlie, you are diving into private practice. So will you just share a little bit about that? I know you've touched on at least what you're going to be doing in this private practice a little bit on the show, but this is exciting news.
Yeah, I am actually so excited about this. And I wanted to make sure that everything's true to what I'm trying to do systemically. And I always say, Josh, it's got to change from the inside out. And that means inside us to the outside world, and then also within the system outwards. And so I'm going to be working with people individually on trauma. Remember, we talk so much about that overcharged nervous system. And I have a treatment, a modality that I use that's very specialized for trauma. It's called accelerated resolution therapy. And I'm specializing in that as well. So I am just going to focus on that. So it can only be part-time. I've got a lot of this other keynote and training stuff that we're doing. But I'm excited to offer that. And it's only to Kentucky residents right now until the licensing. They may do like an interstate licensing expansion, but at this point, so if you live in Kentucky and you want more information about how that might be able to help relieve your nervous system, look up accelerated resolution therapy. And you can also reach out to me. Just reach out to charlie@thrivingeducator.org. I do have a name for it. It's different. It's separate than my training. Clinically, it's got to be. But anyway, I'm really excited about it, Josh. Thanks for asking.
Oh, my goodness. I'm excited for you. And I know it's going to be beneficial to a lot of folks. So if you want to learn more, I've got it on the screen here. So head over to thrivingeducator.org or email Charlie, like she said. And then, of course, Charlie, you have a ton of other resources and things on your website. So I really highly recommend people heading over there for that. And then if you want more information, you can head over also to my website, which has more specific things about the language of behavior, our cohort model, the services that we provide to help school districts. So definitely head over there. And then, of course, we always ask if you have a question for future episodes, make sure that you're clicking on the bit.ly link in the show notes. And it's a very, very short form that we just ask for your questions. So we want to know what's going on in your world. And if we can support you in any way, we'd love to use this as an outlet to give you some additional answers. Charlie, do you have any last words to close the episode down?
I do. Don't forget to use the path of possibilities. The path of possibilities is about what do you want? What don't you want? You can ask parents that. You can ask them that. Keep it super simple for them. What do you want? What don't you want here? And go there. I mean, you can do that in the midst of chaos or when you have that polarization going on. Just keep it really simple.
Awesome. And if you want more information on that and a bunch of other things that we talked about today, of course, you can head over and grab our book on really any platform that sells literature. So if you are also looking for a book study kit, I know we're getting into the springtime. I know it's winter right now, but I'm pretty soon we're going to be going into our holiday vacation and then coming back, and we know things ramp up during that time. So our free book study kit is in the show notes also. So click on that. And if you and a group of folks want to go through the language of behavior, that is there for you for free, because we want to make sure that, again, you have a resource and something to assist during sometimes very, very difficult times. But with that, we hope that you have a wonderful week. And if you need anything, please reach out.
Okay.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.